Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Thursday, the 3rd of March, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KJLL 1330 and always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We are live weekday mornings from 9 to 10. We re-air the program in its entirety from 7 to 8 in the evening here on KJLL. Let's talk about the lineup. It is a good one today. Newsmaker interview right off the top with Gary Hayes. Mr. Hayes heads up the Regional Transportation Authority. Then we talk with a just-declared candidate for Congress in District 7. The bottom of the hour, we launch our new CEO interview series presented by Trio. Our first guest is Lisa Lavallo, CEO of Cox Communication. Then we close out the show with the Buckmaster Show legal advisor, Don Luce. The Buckmaster Show is primarily interview-driven, but of course there's always room if you have a comment or a question. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 529-3508. And we bring in Gary Hayes with us live in studio, executive director of the RTA and the executive director of the Pima Association of Governments. Mr. Hayes, good to see you.
Good morning, Bill. Happy to be with you.
We are going to talk a little bit about bonding. The RTA will be issuing an estimated $100 million in bonds to do road work it promised to voters through the middle of the year 2012. What's the update on this?
The original plan that was presented to the voters in 2006 included bonding during the second five-year cycle, which is 2011 to 2016. Matter of fact, a lot of the preliminary work that went into the plan called for 8 bonding experiences during the 20 years. So this is the first shot out of the box that we're looking at right now.
So bonding was always part of the picture.
Always part of the picture.
So contrary to what some may have said, well, now they're bonding, they must be in financial trouble.
Right.
No, bonding was in this portfolio.
Yeah, absolutely. When we put the plan together, that second five-year period, we knew it would be heavy on construction. Grant Road, Houghton Road, Tangerine, major roadways. And we spent a lot of time during the first 5 years in planning and design of those construction projects. But once we got to the construction phase of so many projects, we knew we'd have to go to the bond market to add additional money. Plus, we fully recognize that we're the primary public economic impetus in the community. So we need to get our money on the street to keep the jobs and create new jobs.
How will this bonding process work? Timing is everything when you do bonding, as you right. know, depending on how the market is. What is your schedule look for?
We had a meeting Monday with the board. Our financial advisors are looking, probably going to the bond market in May or June of this year. There's a lot of spade work that needs to be done in terms of getting our credit rating, meeting with the rating agencies and so forth, and all of that is in play right now.
And the percentage, the interest rate on the bond, what are you looking at?
Well, the way it was presented on Monday, we're looking at somewhere between 4 and 4.5%. We're looking at a rating between AA and AA+, which is awfully good, getting to the bond market.
A lot of people don't understand how bonding works. How does it work in as far as you're concerned with your projects?
Well, the municipal bond market is an interesting market right now, and it's somewhat troublesome because of the difficult situation many municipalities are in. We're not there because we have a dedicated revenue source that pays for the interest on the bond. The $100 million, actually, we're not wedded to $100 million, maybe even a little bit higher than that, $150 million. Once that's put in play, that is money and funding that is allocated to all of the projects that we have during the second 5 years.
What's on the table for projects now that will be covered by this?
You've got Houghton Road will be under construction. You've got Grant Road be under construction. You have McGee, which actually a portion of that already went to bid. Tangerine before the end of the five-year period. You have a whole range of roadway projects that will be funded. Certain transit projects will not be funded. The streetcar, I know, has been raised as an issue. That will not be funded with bonding. It's all directly related to arterials and to right-of-way acquisition, which is an important part of the construction process.
Let's talk about the widening part of South Houghton Road. There was the widely covered Arizona Daily Star about Mr. Huckleberry. Was he going to put some county money into this? What did you think of that whole deal?
Well, every project we've had, whether it's Twin Peaks, Camino de Mañana, Houghton Road, they're complex because there are multiple funding sources, and Houghton Road, that section of it, is no different. There's city funding. There's county funding, and obviously the bulk is RTA funding. Chuck has indicated a complete willingness to fulfill his financial obligations for all of the projects that the county has a required local match in the RTA plan. Houghton Road is no different.
So Mr. Huckleberry and you have been talking throughout
Absolutely,
this.
Absolutely, all the time.
Because some of the impression might have been, if you were reading some of the media accounts, that this was kind of a bombshell that maybe you didn't expect. But the county is going to fulfill their obligation.
Absolutely. The challenge we have with the economic downturn is the phasing and how you schedule projects during the remaining 15 and a half years of the cycle of the RTA plan. I will tell you, during the first 5 years, we're committed to begin construction on 11 roadway projects by mid-2011. By mid-2011, all 11 either will be completed or under construction.
And for those who may be new to the community, this is a 20-year deal. We have just completed the first five-year cycle. Give us an update on what the taxpayers got for their money in the first 5 years.
We collected a little over $300 million, I think $309 million. We've committed $280 million of that $309. The 11 roadway projects that I just mentioned either are into construction or will be. Camino Seco, if you look at Speedway, Camino Seco to Houghton is under construction right now. There's a whole host of intersection improvements because once the plan was approved by the voters, we wanted to go after low-hanging fruit, to move dirt, to get the concrete flowing. So a lot of the 178 projects, I think, throughout the region are completed. Some of them small sidewalks, intersection improvements, but some of them larger roadway improvements, these 11 projects that I mentioned.
It's about 13 minutes now past the hour. Gary Hayes is with us. Mr. Hayes heads up the RTA, the Regional Transportation Authority. As you know, we had Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek on the Buckmaster Show last week after the council had taken a preliminary action to raise the Tucson water rates for water users in Tucson. And RTA came up that maybe this RTA was not living up to their responsibilities with some infrastructure issues.
Early in the process, we actually engaged a number of engineering consultants to do some cost estimates for projects. And like good consultants, they identified utility relocation costs. But the who was responsible for that was really never identified. When the plan was presented to the voters and approved by the voters, it was clear that our position was that utilities, because they have free rein in right-of-way, had the responsibility of paying for utility relocation. That has never really changed. After the plan was approved by the voters, the RTA board adopted a whole series of policies to implement the plan. They made it very clear that we expect that the utilities are responsible for relocation of utility lines, except when there's a prior agreement, either between two municipalities or a utility, or there's a legal requirement that we have to do that. And we've stuck to that policy.
So as far as the water obligations here, this RTA really has no responsibility for Tucson Water.
That's our position. Matter of fact, when the plan was approved by the voters, Tucson Water had a capital plan that included within their budget utility line relocation. So we assume that that was going to be going forward. Now, with the economy where it is, I think everybody's trying to scratch out rate increases and everything else they can do to cover the shortfall. But our position has been very clear from day one.
You know, it's interesting when you go back to 2006 when the voters said yes to the RTA 20-year plan. The economy was very good.
Absolutely.
I mean, the stock market was riding high.
Right.
Did you foresee, obviously, there would be downturns in the economic situation over a 20-year period?
I don't think we saw the cycle to be as difficult as it
has
been.
As one of the worst downturns since the Great Depression.
The only positive that we can glean from this, our sales tax proceeds are down about 13%, which is considerably below what other jurisdictions in the state are experiencing. However, our bids for projects are coming in between 26 and 36% below what was anticipated. So that's not really an apples-to-apples equation, but it helps our financial situation.
You also wear a hat as the executive director of the Pima Association of Governments, and air quality is part of your issue. And it's interesting that with gas prices skyrocketing all over Arizona and the United States because of what's going on in the Middle East, you think gas prices are high here in Tucson, go up to Phoenix.
Right.
30 cents higher.
Right.
What's going on? Why?
The reason they're higher in the Phoenix-Maricopa area because they are still in violation of federal air quality standards. We're in what's called a maintenance situation where we're okay. However, if the EPA adopts new ozone requirements, which we anticipate they're going to do, we may be in violation of that. So we have to be very careful about exceeding air quality standards moving forward. Otherwise, we're going to be paying those same prices that Phoenix is paying now.
And our air quality right now, are we marginal or?
Well, in terms of the normal basic standards, we're fine right now. We're in a maintenance position. But if they adopt these new requirements, we're really watching that very closely.
And the Pima Association of Governments will be hosting some open houses for public review. That's actually starting on March the 7th. There's an event in Green Valley at noon at the Joyner Green Valley Library. Then the next day at the Randolph Clubhouse on Alvernon. That's March the 8th from 4:30 to 6:30. March the 9th, 4:30 to 6:30 at the Foothills Mall. What are these open houses about?
We have a responsibility of adapting a transportation improvement program, which is a five-year capital investment plan every year. And to do that, we seek the public's input to make sure that the projects that are in that capital improvement plan meet the needs of the region. That includes all the RTA projects, but beyond that, all of the projects that we're responsible for that are funded with state and federal money. That's a federal mandate that we have to comply with.
With the economy so bad, are the construction companies looking for work? Are they happy right now to
absolutely
on the bidding process?
There is construction going on around town. If you're careful and you look for it, the RTA investment and even the PAG TIP investment contributes to that, and we're very careful about making sure that we comply with all the requirements so we get those jobs on the street and, keep moving.
What are some of the projects you're most proud of over the first 5 years?
Well, the plan is multimodal. It is not just the roadways and those 11 arterials that I mentioned, meeting those requirements, meeting the voters' wishes in transit and the investments that we've made in SunTran and SunVan.
Oro Valley, we had the mayor of Oro Valley, the doctor, Dr.
Correct.
Highmath, was
right.
on the program, and he was raving about RTA and the transportation program,
right?
Kind of a little mass transit minibus.
Yeah, we call that our Sun Shuttle program, and that is actually articulated in the plan. That's another example where you have a specific item in the plan where we're carrying it out. We were actually running Sun Shuttle not just in Oro Valley, but Moran and Green Valley as well, and we will begin a program in Rita Ranch pretty soon. It's all intended to create a regional transportation system, not just roadway, but transit, Sun Shuttle, express, park and ride, so residents in the region can really move seamlessly throughout the region.
Got less than a minute to go. I know it's a big topic about SunTran and the city of Tucson.
Right.
Anything new in that regard?
I know the city is going through some serious budget deliberations. I know they're looking at SunTran and transit investments because we're one of the few cities that spends so much money out of our general fund in mass transit. So that's a real challenge. None of our sister agencies, sister organizations across the West, Denver, Salt Lake City, Las Vegas, have that same burden. So it really becomes a budget problem. And it really becomes a problem for us because we're all about expanded services, not core services. And the assumption is that SunTran, which is extremely well run, by the way, by Public Transit Management, which is a private company, we want to continue our investment where we're concerned about the core service.
Okay, Gary Hayes, head of the RTA, thank you very much for being on the Buckmaster Show, 20 minutes past the hour. Mr. Hayes, thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you.
All
thanks.
Right, we will be talking next on the Buckmaster Show with the Republican candidate who wants Raul Grijalva's job. That's next on the Buckmaster Show.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is your one-stop store for fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and Mont Blanc and other top-of-the-line writing instruments. Order online at sarnoffart.com or visit owner-operator Henry Sarnoff and his store staffed by artists, for artists, and those who seek the finest quality in everything art-related. Sarnoff Artist Materials, 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at sarnoffart.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at VeroAmorePizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastropub.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at ArizonaInn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting. And you can make your reservations online at ArizonaInn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom, centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
It's 24 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. Gabriela Saucedo Mercer, known as Gabby Mercer, is now in the Congressional District 7 race as a Republican. She wants to unseat Congressman Raul Grijalva, and Gabby Mercer is on the Buckmaster Show live line. Ms. Mercer, congratulations on your announcement.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, why did you decide to get into the race?
Because Raul Grijalva does not represent me or the people in City 7.
Now, you gained quite a bit of notice after the passage of SB 1070 when you told the Tucson City Council that you were ashamed of it for trying to overturn the law and ashamed of Congressman Grijalva for his call for a boycott to pressure state leaders. Is that what is behind this effort?
No, it was part of it. That was my real feelings at that time, is that, SB 1070 is very clear It has nothing about its skin color, nothing about racism. It's just to give law enforcement the ability to enforce the laws of this country, the immigration laws. And I thought it was kind of silly when the streets in Tucson are full of potholes, but they're thinking about suing the state over an immigration law. And I was ashamed, and I'm still ashamed of my representative, Raul Grijalva, because he called for a boycott of our state. I was, that's part of it. Not 100%. But that just shows that Raul Grijalva is not representing the people in Congressional District 7. So, yes, I guess that's part of it.
Now, you were born in Mexico. You legally immigrated to the United States in 1986. You and your husband, Ted, live on Tucson's west side. You have three adult children. You've worked in the defense electronics industry. Are you excited about getting into politics? And what do you think this campaign is going to be about?
I am excited about, getting involved, actually running. I've been involved for a couple of years in politics, helping in campaigns and getting involved to, try to make a difference in the issues that that are important to me and my family. My daughter is in the military, and Grijalva does not support our military. And I'm just tired about, the things that we're looking for from our elected officials, and they're not delivering. They're taking our country in the wrong direction, and Grijalva is one of them.
We're talking with Gabby Mercer. She's now a congressional candidate in District 7. What about your focus on jobs?
Well, one of the things that Arizona needs is jobs. In Yuma County alone, which is part of Congressional District 7, they have a 28% unemployment. I mean, that's more than double of the national unemployment rate. And Grijalva has constantly blocked the building of a refinery in Yuma. Grijalva is against the Rosemont Copper Project. That would bring so many jobs to Pima County alone, and he's against it. That's another thing that is not good for the state of Arizona, and especially for District 7. We need jobs, Grijalva.
And you have said that his support of the federal health care overhaul really got under your skin as well.
Yes, I don't believe that the government, according to the Constitution, the government is not to mandate anything on the people. And there's 21 different new taxes included in the health care bill. What is new taxes have to do with health care? That's a very scary bill. I do not agree with it.
Gabriela Sauceda Mercer, congratulations on your decision to get involved in the process. We'll look forward to talking with you as this race unfolds. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's 29 minutes now past the hour. We're going to be launching the CEO interview series presented by Trio. That is next on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
This is Tucson's Jolt.
This is a free exchange of ideas.
AM 1330, KJLL.
The American people deserve no less.
South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. The man accused of killing two U.S. troops in Germany may have been involved in terrorism. CNN's Fred Pleitkin says the suspect went up to the soldiers and made sure they were Americans before shooting.
Apparently, the only reason why at some point he stopped firing on them and ran away is that the weapon that he was using, which was a pistol, seems to have jammed.
A man from New Jersey pleaded guilty in court today of trying to travel to Somalia to fight with Al-Qaeda. Authorities believe the man was planning to kill people outside the U.S. Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi is being investigated for possible crimes against humanity, and international prosecutors trying to find out if Gaddafi is killing protesters or bombing civilians. Stocks are having a good day so far thanks to a positive report on weekly jobless claims. The Dow's up 168 points. AAA says gas prices are up another 4 cents today. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
I'm Rocky Moselle with StarRegistry.com. Since we were children, we've been told to reach for the stars. It was great advice. Now it's a great gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com, we will name a star after someone very special to you and send an incredible personalized gift. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com for the hottest gift.
Adventurous Americans, maybe you own a motorcycle, a boat, an RV, a PWC, or an ATV. Well, FYI, GEICO could save you money on insuring those vehicles. And here's how easy it is. You call GEICO and speak with a specialized agent about all the vehicles you own. The agent crunches the numbers. And if you're like thousands of others, your rate is less than what you pay now. And where I come from, paying less means saving money. Call GEICO today for a free rate quote. GEICO, saving people money on more than just car insurance.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Are you up for the challenge? It's the third annual Boot Camp Challenge, March 19th. Join Olympic athletes, local armed forces, and celebrities as we laugh, climb, crawl, walk, run, and work out boot camp style through a 5K run-walk obstacle course. To sign up as an individual or a team, go to beatcancerbootcamp.com or call 546-1601 for the Cancer Boot Camp Challenge, 7:30 Saturday morning, March 19th at Brandy Fenton Park. For strength, for health, for life, for fun.
It's 35 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. Every 3 weeks over the next 6 months, here on the Buckmaster Show, we will be introducing you to a CEO of some of Tucson's largest companies. The CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Trio, offering programs and services to support the attraction and expansion of companies that offer primary high-wage jobs to our citizens. Since 2005, Trio has facilitated the relocation or expansion and or expansion of nearly 40 companies in the Tucson region, representing over 10,550 jobs and a $2 billion economic impact. For more information, visit trioaz.org. Kicking off our CEO series is Lisa Lavallo, Vice President and Systems Manager for Cox Communications in Southern Arizona. At Cox, she's responsible for all Southern Arizona business, public affairs, and community functions in both Pima and Cochise counties. She's heavily involved in the Tucson community, serving on 10 community boards, including TRIO, Southern Arizona Leadership Council, the DM50, Downtown Tucson Partnership, and the Arizona Cancer Center. Lisa Lavallo, how do you have time for anything with all that, with that kind of agenda?
Well, Bill, I have time for your show because it's very, very exciting to have this new program out there in the marketplace for us to talk about our business community. So thank you for doing this.
Thank you so much, Lisa. What is your assessment right now of the Tucson economy and some of the challenges and really the opportunities for 2011 facing the TRIO board and the chairman's circle, of which you're the co-chair? It's a big job, lots of challenges, just coming out of a real tough economy, but I think there are some optimistic signs out there.
Well, I mean, if our business is any indication, I think that Tucson is definitely on the road to recovery, and I don't think that, well, Arizona had the deepest really recession and economic impact of almost any state in the country. Tucson wasn't quite as bad as Phoenix, so we might not recover quite as quickly, but we didn't recede. Our economy didn't recede as deeply. So our business is starting to come back. We're rolling into 3 months of positive growth, and it looks sustainable. So I think that the future in this year, we'll see a lot of businesses start to spread their wings and invest and hire people, because I think what our community really needs is jobs. And that's what TRIO is there to do, is to expand primary jobs in our community and to focus on the diversification of our market. We had tremendous growth from in-migration. Our home builders and commercial builders have done a great job of growing our economy for many, many years, and we need them to be growing in the future. But our job at TRIO is to look out and say, how do we create an economy in Tucson and in our region that is going to create high-skilled, high-wage jobs, and what are the sectors of greatest opportunity given all the assets that we have, our university, our Air Force base. And there are really four key areas that we're trying to focus on at TRIO to help our economy not only recover, but then have a long, sustainable future.
What areas are they?
You know, the four that we really are focused on at TRIO and where we've had success even through the recession are aerospace and defense. We have the largest concentration of aerospace employees in the United States in our region. So
I did not know that.
We do. We have a very strong aerospace sector.
Of course, led by Raytheon.
Led by Raytheon, and there's Sargent Controls. There's a lot of what we would consider smaller companies to Raytheon, but significant employers, and these are very high-wage jobs. The biosciences, of course, led by our University of Arizona, Sanofi Aventis, Ventana Medical Systems. We've got a great cluster there. Solar, which is an emerging sector for us, and transportation and logistics. I mean, we are the transportation corridor through Mexico, and we have a lot of opportunities there to expand those businesses as well.
So when you get together, and I believe there's the board of the CEO chairman circle, mm-hmm. There's 10 CEOs, including there's, I guess, 8 CEOs, and then you count Dr. Shelton, which mm-hmm. that
sure.
counts from the U of A, and mm-hmm. then Mayor Walkup. So when you all get together and you sit down and you say, look, it's about jobs,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yep.
It's really about jobs. How do we get high-wage, skilled people into Tucson? And what do your colleagues say? What happens at that meeting?
Well, those meetings are really first, I think, about making sure that we're on the same sheet of paper in terms of how we sell and market our community. It's really important that the folks that work not only in Tucson but statewide and on a national level are out there communicating all the assets that the Tucson community has. So we work hard to make sure that we're sharing the positive information and have a good good talking points so that when we're called upon to help bring companies here or to talk to other businesses about expanding their businesses here, that we're really highlighting Tucson's best assets. TRIO has been very successful in bringing jobs and diversifying our economy over the last several years. I mean, just in TRIO's, in the last 5 years, has brought nearly 40 companies to the Tucson region, which has resulted in over 10,000 jobs and about $2 billion in economic impact. So I think we're doing a good job of focusing on these areas of opportunity.
And a lot of them aren't high publicity kind of things. It's behind the scenes. There's a lot of work that goes on with TRIO. And, you know, when the big announcements are made, you don't take into consideration, or the public doesn't understand that those have, that could be years or months of kind of working to get those jobs here.
Yeah, and we have to work internationally to do that now. I mean, when you're looking at biosciences and aerospace, I mean, our organization at TRIO has to reach out to different countries and companies that are all over the world that are looking for the assets that a community like Tucson has.
I was going to say that Cox Communications, I understand, only funds community projects which fall under the umbrella of TRIO's blueprint.
The blueprint is a roadmap that was put together about 5 years ago. It was funded by Tucson Electric Power, and we interviewed 6,700 people in our region, business people, nonprofits, a really good cross-section of our community to determine what our community said were the areas of greatest emphasis and need for us to be a 21st century region. And those areas are excellence in education, K-12 in particular, and making sure that our university is strong and vibrant. High-skilled, high-wage job growth, not just job growth, but high-wage job growth. Making sure that our government is working in a way that is conducive to expansion and growth, government stewardship. Making sure we have a downtown, you know, a downtown core urban center where young people want to stay, and where we have the creative class and the university students stay here, so we have those high-skilled workforce.
Because that's a huge problem.
Huge.
And you grew up in Tucson. Mm-hmm. I think you said you've been here all your life with the exception of the first 3 years of your life. You know that kids, when they graduate from college, what do? They want to hit the road.
Yeah, and I did the same thing. I graduated, I went to LA for a few years, and I came back. But I think, you know, there are things that we have wonderful assets in our community that young people enjoy, the outdoors, the environment. But having a really vibrant downtown where there's arts and culture and music and restaurants and lofts and living spaces, we're getting there downtown. There's been over $150 million of private sector investment in our downtown sector. TEP, a $60 million building. Providence Service Corp. I mean, we've got big companies who are saying downtown matters, and that's part of the blueprint. And what other companies who locate here are looking for. If they've got young, high-skilled workers, they want to see an environment in which those workers will stay with their company and stay in Tucson. And then the other component of the blueprint is what we call livable communities, which is to have a very strong healthcare sector, to have a very strong human services sector, so that all our citizens have a quality of life that brings our community to a point where people say, you know, this place is somewhere that's got great companies, great jobs, great environment, great downtown, and they care about one another. And so that's what we try to focus on at Cox in terms of our charitable giving. There's lots and lots of great organizations, and we're trying to focus the limited resources that we have against the opportunities that are really going to bring the region forward.
And Cox, it's been a difficult economy, and there's a lot of infrastructure investment that's involved in your business. Are you seeing signs that things are starting to come back?
Yes, and Cox has been smart over the last couple of years to really make sure that the stewardship, our financial stewardship, has been solid so that we have the capital to continue and invest in infrastructure. Because fiber optic networks are very expensive to build and maintain, and it's critical that Tucson and Phoenix and all the in the rural communities as well have access to high-speed internet, that they've got 4G mobile networks, and that's built predominantly by the private sector. And I'm proud to say that Cox, as a corporation, sees Arizona as a key growth market for it into the future. And so the hundreds of millions of dollars required to run Cox Communications is made available to us. And there's really, from our company standpoint, Tucson and Phoenix are going to be communities that we invest in long into the future. So as long as we have a business community and a business you know, a business-friendly environment so that the regulatory environment doesn't damage our ability to grow, I think there's no end in sight in terms of what we'll invest.
You have a lot of people working for you, right?
We do.
You're a big economic engine here.
We are. I mean, we have very high wage jobs and in high skilled jobs. We have over 400 employees based in Tucson and 3,000 in the state of Arizona.
That's big time.
Yeah. Good-sized company.
Lisa Lavallo, thank you very much for kicking off our CEO interview series. I'm looking forward to it. It's been presented by Trio. Every 3 weeks, we'll be chatting with a local CEO about their plans and the outlook for 2011. I think in three weeks, we've got Judy Rich from TMC who will be coming in. So it's going to be fun, and we're going to learn a lot. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. It's about coming up on 46 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. Next, we've got some legal issues to talk with our Buckmaster Show legal advisor, Don Luce. That's coming up.
I used to roll the dice, feel the fear in my enemy's eyes.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinker Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinker Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tanker Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tanker Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is Tucson's award-winning destination for everything art-related, including fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and the world's best writing instruments. Visit owner-operator, artist Henry Sarnoff at 2504 North Campbell, 3 blocks north of Grant, and always at the easy-to-navigate website, sarnoffart.com. Because it takes an artist to know an artist's needs.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub. It is now about 49 minutes past the hour. We are joined by attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown and Associates in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don Luce, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
Lots of stuff going on with all sorts of legal implications in this session of the legislature. I can't remember a crazier, wackier session than what we are seeing in my nearly quarter of a century here in Arizona.
As I always say, Bill, there's never a lack of things to talk about.
Never in this state. State Senate voting last week to let lawmakers nullify federal laws. That measure would set up a committee empowered to review all past and future federal actions to determine if they are constitutional. Well, the full Senate yesterday rejected the measure, but I guess that doesn't mean it's necessarily dead. And what would the implications be of nullifying federal law?
It seems to me, Bill, that this issue is the issue underpinning the two cases that are finding their way through the federal system. The first case is the employer sanctions law, which was argued to the Supreme Court a couple of months ago. And the second case is SB 1070, which is now before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. The Arizona legislature, during the last couple of years, has taken action that at least on its face appears to be contrary to the concept of federalism, which is that the federal law supersedes any inconsistent state law.
That's what I've always thought, and I think that's what most people say, that federal law supersedes state law.
And yet this SB 1433, which you were referring to earlier, and would have set up a committee empowered to review all past and future federal actions to determine if they are, in the committee's opinion, constitutional. And if the committee recommends that they not be honored by the legislature, then this bill would have given the legislature the authority to not recognize the federal law. It really is kind of insane in some respects.
And then the coming out of this is, I guess, sort of the sideshow, this effort to make Pima County the 51st state, called Baja Arizona. Many are saying, hey, this is a waste of time, but our good friend Paul Eckerstrom, who's a commentator and contributor to this program, Paul says it's the way to go.
Well, Senator Paula Abood, who's a Democrat out of Tucson, tried to tack on a proposal to SB 1433, which would have allowed Pima County to secede from the state. I mean, I've never seen something quite this drastic all at one time.
I mean, in order to accomplish that, the number of hoops that Pima County would have to jump through, you'd have to get Congress to approve. I mean, it's just a long list of things that...
Well, and that's a good point. Congress is the body that determines whether a new state gets created, not the state legislature nor any county board of supervisors.
Arizona lawyers can legally represent the operators of medical marijuana dispensaries without fear of facing ethics charges. This is interesting, even though the sale of marijuana at the dispensaries violates federal law. Here we go again, the federal versus state law.
Exactly. This is a legal ethics issue. And what I mean by that is lawyers are governed by a code of ethics. And one of the ethical provisions says that a lawyer cannot knowingly counsel or assist a client to commit a crime. So the issue that arose with regard to the medical marijuana proposition is if it violates federal law, which it does, can a lawyer assist a client in setting up a nonprofit entity to operate a marijuana dispensary? And statewide, the proposition authorized 125 marijuana dispensaries. Presumably, each one of those is going to be owned or controlled by a nonprofit corporation. Well, if there is an ethical prohibition against assisting a client in creating a nonprofit entity to operate these dispensaries, that would put the operators in a legal bind because essentially lawyers would not be able to assist them in the creation of these entities. The Bar Ethics Committee concluded, however, that it would not try to discipline attorneys who are helping clients do things that are in compliance with Arizona law, despite the fact that cultivating, possessing, or selling marijuana is in violation of federal law.
Some attorneys, though, may, just because this gets kind of complicated, may want to shy away from this, wouldn't you think?
I would say that that's true, and the reason is because an ethical complaint could lead to disciplinary action, including disbarment, which, of course, would be a very drastic action, but nonetheless one that would be possible.
Yeah, why get that extra heat possibly coming down on you? 55 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. Attorney Don Luce is the Buckmaster Show contributor. He is a wealth of information about legal news. And one of the things, if you've ever gotten a summons, which most of us have, to report for jury duty, it's always interesting to, if you are seated on a jury, wondering about, well, if I'm on a jury, do I have the right if it's a criminal proceeding, to start questioning witnesses. And in Arizona, I guess there is a provision that this could happen.
Well, in Arizona, like in two other states, the jurors in a criminal trial have the right to ask questions. And in fact, juries in civil trials also ask questions. But this is a minority position. 11 states prohibit the jurors from asking questions, and the rest leave it to the judge. So in Arizona, we have a system where the lawyers ask the questions, the judge is allowed to ask the questions, and the jury can ask questions. And how it works practically is, after a jury is impaneled, the judge explains to them that they will be allowed to ask questions during the trial. And so every juror has a notebook, and it's not uncommon to see jurors writing out things in their notebook during the testimony. And then at the end of the lawyer questioning, the judge will typically ask the jury if there are any questions. And the jurors are then free to hand to the bailiff their sheets of paper with questions written out on them. And then the judge confers with the lawyers, and if the questions are deemed relevant and otherwise permissible, the judge, on behalf of the jury, will ask the witness the juror's questions. There was a recent criminal trial in Pima County involving Shauna Ford, who was found guilty of murder. During that trial, 36 juror questions were actually asked of the witnesses.
Really? That many?
Yes.
So it is up to the judge, though, what questions are presented to the panel.
Yes. And typically the judge will find that some of the juror questions are not permitted for reasons of law, and the judge will not ask the witness those questions. But by and large, the judges are asking most of the questions that the jurors are requesting be asked. And this system in Arizona, which, as I say, is only in two other states and has been in effect since 1992, is a very good one, in my opinion, and it allows the jury to get the information that the lawyers may not have thought to ask the witnesses and to participate more interactively in the process.
Yeah, so it gets everybody involved. Quickly, House Bill up in Phoenix, 2383. This is legislation introduced to create a borrower's bill of rights in Arizona. Don Luce, what should we as consumers know about this quickly?
Well, we should know that there's a lot of debate about how banks have treated borrowers with regard to mortgage lending. The Attorney General of our state has brought a claim against Bank of America regarding this issue. This legislation, 2383, was introduced by Debbie McCune, who's a Democrat out of Phoenix, and it requires mortgage servicers to protect the rights of homeowners under the Arizona Consumer Fraud Act. So what this legislation does essentially is it creates a new class of rights under an existing statute. We have a Consumer Fraud Act already in place. This legislation would expand it to protect borrowers by giving them the right to information that they currently don't have the right to, and also prohibiting lenders from doing things like foreclosing during loan modification negotiations and those sort of things.
So it may be a bonus for the consumer. This might be a good deal.
It might be, yes.
All right. We've got about, we're 59 minutes past the hour. Don Luce has been with us of Luce Brown and Associates in Tucson and Phoenix, is the author of Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don Luce, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, Don Luce, the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. We're quickly running out of time, but we have had a jam-packed program here on the Buckmaster Show, as usual. And we want to mention that Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by the CPA firm, Fine CPAs, Flowers and Rieger. Our very good friend Michael C. Flowers is the CPA for the Buckmaster Show. Have a great day.
Local talk at its best.
Real talk is what this is.
AM 1330, KJLL, South Tucson.